The god. Really?
Dead serious. I meant to tell you that before, and it popped in my head. God. And I was like, wait, it's like going to tell him. And I
forgot. Welcome once again to the stunning and apparently god-awful return of the Team Rocket podcast. I'm Jesse. This is James.
We back. It's only been a long time.
Dog rapists, really, that's what we're talking about. Not even a minute into this thing.
No, that's where I'll tell you the story after the podcast because it's really fucked up.
Oh my god.
Dead serious. I was like, and they people allow you to live because
I'm so disturbed and bothered, and you know what? Triggered. I'm triggered. #triggered.
Oh my god. Whoever keeps teaching you these things, I'm gonna have to start punching them. Every time you learn a new pop culture phrase, you just overuse it.
Triggered.
Like legit. I'm gonna have to
All right.
Beat your friends up.
All right, so we've got an interesting show for you guys today. Obviously, we're on the eve of Fallout 4's release.
Yeah.
Another Fallout game. Can you believe it? We're up to 4. This one's taking us to Boston. Shitty South Boston, y'all.
Yeah, Boston
Y'all is not a Boston word. You guys, we going to Boston.
We're going to park the car while we eat some chocolate. Some chocolate bars.
Gonna eat some New England clam chowder.
Yeah, so we're back in Boston, and apparently I have bad news for everybody. The game apparently is buggy as fuck.
Oh, that is true. Kotaku.com. Good old Kotaku. Apparently has announced from early reports from reviewers that the game has lots of bugs, which means in a shocker to no one because this is Bethesda and it's a Bethesda release. So of course there's going to be lots of stupid bugs because why wouldn't there be?
Could I just say that before Skyrim there weren't nearly that many bugs, but after Skyrim they just like can't make a fucking game.
Well, it was probably even worse than that. Let's be fair.
Yeah, you're probably right, to be fair. But I'm saying I blame Skyrim.
I mean, you know what? To be fair, I am looking forward to this new Fallout game. I am a big fan of the Fallout series. I had an opportunity while I was in high school to play Fallout 1 and 2 when they actually released it in like a dual little boxed set. It was like maybe $10, $15. And I was like, all right, I've heard about this game. Pick it up and it's like, oh my god, this is amazing. And it was known for its really dark, irreverent humor. It was a very grim, gritty landscape.
I mean, you forgot the most important part. It's post-apocalyptic, which is why it's a grim and gritty landscape.
Yeah, well, I was getting into that. For those of you that have never played the Fallout games or had a chance to experience them or whatnot, Fallout is a universe that it's post-apocalyptic role-playing game that basically is the example of what happens in the midst of a nuclear fallout. The thing is, a lot of the game's culture, it was like the world at that time got locked in like 1950s.
Art Deco.
Like the 1950s culture and style at that time. And art decorum, thank you.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, a lot of the game's bent is, and imagery has some of that based on it. That being said, it was originally developed by Black Isle Studios, which at the time I believe was a subsidiary of Interplay. And they released two games as well, and I think they had a side tactics game that was made by another developer before Interplay, in what I consider to be one of the most ingenious or one of the most brain dead decisions. Not ingenious. There's nothing ingenious about it.
Yeah.
Interplay dumps the rights, sells it to Bethesda. Bethesda goes on to make Fallout 3, which
was pretty damn good.
I actually liked it. I know that there are some very diehard Fallout fans who will have me strung up for saying that. For example, those who I think have been those who would populate on the No Mutants Allowed website, that community. They're very diehard. Oh god, my mic down.
You need a new mic.
Headset fell off my head. Lovely.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing to admit, by the way, and unfortunately there's no way we're gonna edit that. That's gonna stick because we're idiots. But so the No Mutants Allowed community is very diehard. They were very big fans of the vintage Fallouts, and when Bethesda got the license and made Fallout 3, if there was ever a stereotype about it just being Oblivion with guns, that's probably where it started.
But again, to be fair, if you're going to be a version of a game with guns, Oblivion was also really good, too.
Having never played Oblivion, which I'm sure will get me a lot of fucking slack. Oh, there's one. There's the first one. But no, after that, Fallout New Vegas came out, which was developed by Obsidian Studios, which was made up of old Black Isle devs. And Fallout New Vegas, in terms of story, played a bit closer to the original first two Fallouts than Fallout 3 did. Nonetheless, we are now on Fallout 4. And the trailer, you know, the trailer seems intriguing. You see, you're like an adult figure who gets cryogenically frozen for 200 years in a vault. And then you're released, not really sure what has happened after the bombs have dropped. But you find out that I believe your son is missing. And you go on a search for him. That was the preliminary plot.
Wait, pause. So you were cryogenically frozen for 200 years, but your son is missing, and that causes a problem? Did you have a son before or after?
You know what, dude? I don't make the rules with Fallout, okay?
Okay, I'm just kidding. I was like, wait, what? Go ahead, I'm sorry. I said a logic there. My bad.
That was, I believe, the preliminary plot. I could be wrong. I'm guessing. But nonetheless, we are on Fallout 4 Eve. And as we said, this is taking place in in the Boston area. The Boston Wasteland. What do you think they're going to call it? The Boston Wasteland? The Tea Party Wasteland?
I'm going to go with... Actually, I don't know what they would call it.
Well, I know that one of the areas in the game is a remodeled Fenway Park where people have habitated within it to create like their own, I guess, shelter or their own colony area for it. So... Yeah. At least one big Boston icon will be in Fallout 4, guaranteed.
That's cool.
I'm just, like I said, I'm hoping that there is actually a perk or little trait in the game, much like the Wild Wasteland feat from Fallout New Vegas that made everything like really wacky and crazy. I'm kind of hoping that there's a trait that gives everyone shitty South Boston accents. That's what I want. That's really all I want out of it.
Thank God we haven't had hit a huge viewer spread or listener spread yet, because we would have just lost all of our New England followers.
I would just like to point out I'm a big New England Patriots fan. Go Brady.
That means you have no penis. That doesn't mean you're gonna be good with them.
You know what? You know what? If somebody wants to send me some Uggs boots to keep saying that, I'll happily say it.
Boston.
No. But no, I'm really looking forward to it. It definitely seems like it's, at least from the preliminary videos, it seems exactly like Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas in a lot of ways, which I thought were good games. I appreciated them. I went into those two games with the expectation, okay, this is not Black Isle doing it anymore. It's going to have its own take. As long as they try to keep close enough to what I held dear, I'm okay with it, and they did. So. Yeah.
It's all that really matters at the end of the day.
Of course, I'm also not militant about things like that, so I would not consider myself a diehard, crazy Fallout fan, but I do like the series. I like the franchise. So here is hoping Fallout 4 turns out to be very good.
This I was waiting for somebody to shit all over Shin Megami Tensei to see what you say about that.
Fuck you.
There it is.
Persona 5 comes out next year, and it's going to be the best fucking game ever. You can suck a big bag of dicks.
We'll see about that.
Also, this past weekend, we had BlizzCon. I think BlizzCon was this past week, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
James, our resident Blizzard expert, tell us about it.
There was the first ever Enhancement Shaman to win BlizzCon, which everybody was like, this is shit. This is complete shit.
So you're telling me in WoW Arena play, for the first time ever, an Enhancement Shaman won arenas.
Won the arena tournament as what was the underdog setup in 3v3s of Turbo Cleave, which is Arms Warrior Enhancement Shaman, Resto Druid versus RMD Rogue Mage Druid, which is arguably the best setup in the game, and they just 2-1 them and knocked them right out of the tournament.
Nice.
They're just like, damn, they're about to get wrecked. Holy shit, they won! Oh my god! The funny thing was, either way, there's either going to be the first Rogue to ever win BlizzCon or the first Enhancement Shaman. It's going to go one of two ways.
A Rogue has never won BlizzCon.
Rogues have won the side tournaments back when esports were new, like MLG and stuff like that. They've never won a main Blizzard tournament. They've been on teams, but one has never actually played in and won a BlizzCon.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have actually expected a Rogue to have won by now.
Which is weird, because Rogues are always like the best. They're always in, like, the best top-tier comp. But, again, that's what I was saying in our side conversation earlier. when it comes to tiering, especially in team games, you can take RMD, Rogue, Mage, Druid by themselves on different teams are mid to almost like high tier classes.
Yeah.
But the thing that they do is all of their CC, none of them DRs together, which makes them, when you put them together, like odds, hands down, the best comp there is, because nothing that they do DRs with each other. So they can just keep somebody CC'd while they kill one of the other two targets. I the see. Counter to that is Turbo Cleave is just, eat my dick, you're going to die. They just run at you until you die. And that's pretty much what they did.
Sounds legit, alright.
They just counter their CC by damage. Like, wow, we have...
Well, you, as they do say, the ultimate CC is death.
More or less, I mean, the best... Yeah, literally, it's like, oh, we're going to fake cast healing ourselves. Oh, wait, my druid's dead. GG, get wrecked. Oddly enough, the team that lost or came in second in the WoW tournament won the Hearthstone tournament, which, not Hearthstone, won the Heroes tournament, which we talked about a second ago on Cloud9, which I was still like, that makes, weird.
Well, they've got their stuff together. I was going to say, since we were talking about WoW, though, the expansion, Legion.
We are the best expansion ever, and Blizzard did a few things in talking about the Legion expansion that kind of rustled some jimmies and made a lot of the player base upset.
How
for
so?
A couple hours. They kind of said that Warlords of Draenor and Warlords of Draenor and Legion were meant to basically be one expansion, which is why they're coming out so close behind each other. Since they were reaching the deadline, Activision more or less made them split the expansion in half. Just they had an expansion every year and a half, like how Activision wants. Because even the final cutscene of Warlords of Draenor is Gul'dan being basically punished by Archimonde and sent to the same prison as Illidan, to the prison world, basically.
I was going to say, this new expansion, the Legion, this brings in Illidan's class, Demon Hunter, correct?
Correct. The whole thing is Demon Hunters are the new shit. It's like, okay, so in order to... They finally realized that Illidan technically was right. The best way to fight a demon is to become a demon. So he basically, similar to the whole thing with Death Knights, the Alliance and the Horde recruit a lot of Demon Hunters to help fight for them. Another weird thing is the expansion starts with the Horde and the Alliance working together. So Vanis actually works with Rin, Varian Rin, to actually start the expansion off, which is kind of crazy. But again, a lot of people are upset because of the whole concept of this big overlapping expansion that we've had that basically has been sluggish and lost all of the people that came back. It was just a half expansion to hold everybody over until they're able to put the finishing touches on Legion that they've been developing since Mists of Pandaria.
Let's see.
Yeah, so, I mean, they rustled a few jimmies to find, oh, yeah, that, like, 200 hours played you have in this expansion. And why this expansion is so short, because originally this isn't the whole expansion. This is technically half of the expansion. GG, please buy the game. Please buy Legion.
Please buy Legion.
Please buy Legion. And from the looks of all the new level 100s, everybody bought it. It's kind of insane. If you buy Legion, you get a free level 100 boost in the current game. So you get a full max level character just for a pre-order in the game.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's one way to keep your player base, I guess.
Or, if you get the deluxe edition, you get a mount in both WoW and Heroes of the Storm. You get the Demon Wings in Diablo 3. And you get a skin in Heroes of the Storm as well. And pets.
You know, I can't fault them. That's definitely one way to keep everybody playing, because do one thing in one game, or do one thing in a game, and it transfers over, or confers rewards in others, so I mean,
they're doing some cool stuff that I wish some other studios would do, but it's only because Blizzard solely has these games right now, and they haven't really expanded any further. So yeah, the best way to keep everybody happy is to give people rewards for, if you do this in one game, you get this in the other. Which is also pretty cool.
Yep.
I think.
And I would also say, speaking of Warcraft, we have the Warcraft movie. The Warcraft trailer was released at BlizzCon.
And you watched it. What do you think?
I'm intrigued. It looks good. Okay, here, full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, of the Blizzard IPs, the main ones, StarCraft, Diablo, Warcraft. Warcraft is actually my least favorite of the three.
Really?
Yes.
Well, like, I couldn't tell, but like, why? Or why? I can't say.
Now to be entirely fair, Warcraft 2 was also the reason that, you know, I looked into things like Diablo and StarCraft and whatnot. So it's not that I think that Warcraft is a terrible franchise, but it's definitely their most popular one for a reason. It's just of the three, the aesthetic. It's not my favorite. But
I liked it. I can see it.
However, movie does look interesting based on the trailer, and I think you and I were both discussing this. It looks like they're trying to. What were they talking about? The first war between humans and orcs?
That's what it looks
like.
If
that's even a war, it doesn't even look like they're going to be warring. That looks like they're going to try and group up and fight some even greater menace.
The Legion. That's what that is. They're fighting the Legion, which I think is kind of funny that all this coincides around the same time.
Clever.
Clever, I know, right?
Clever bastards.
Because Medivh is controlled by Sargeras, who is the dark overlord of the Legion.
Yeah. Now, I was going to say the crew behind it, isn't it Universal Studios?
Legendary.
And Legendary. So, you know that movie's going to be in good hands.
Yeah. I mean, they do pretty good monster and CGI stuff, as we've seen with pretty much everything they made, from Pacific Rim to the new Godzilla and a bunch of other things Legendary has its hands in.
So, at the very least, Warcraft looks like it'll be in good hands. It looks like it'll definitely be a good movie to check out. If you're a big Warcraft fan, you don't need me to sell this to you. You already know you're going to see it. You know you're going to dress up for it. You know you're going to be cheering everything on. You're going to be oohing and aahing. There's nothing that I can really say to hype this up. There's nothing that
Did you see Orc Moses?
Orc Moses.
A.K.A. Yes. Thrall. Poor baby.
Oh, my God.
Poor kid. He's about to have a hard 38 years of his life.
And so begins the religious iconography. Can't wait till the religious right gets butthurt over that.
I mean, if you play the games, you know the story. The Thrall is found by humans and kept as a slave and forced to fight orcs.
Yes, and they were originally going to build on that in a adventure game that Blizzard had made that was going to detail the origin of Thrall, but they canceled it and instead introduced Thrall in Warcraft 3.
Yep. Where he was just a fully realized character, like, yo, what's up?
Yep.
Yeah. And eventually, in the point that we are in the game now, Thrall is a god. GG, get wrecked. Thrall is the aspect of Earth, which I think is really weird, but whatever. Whatever.
He's already there.
Yeah.
Next down the BlizzCon list here, we have the Hearthstone expansion. And alas, here's another thing that I can't say anything about because I don't play Hearthstone. Go figure. I don't
think anybody does, to be totally honest.
Except it has a ridiculously dedicated following, so apparently shows what we know.
There's still, like, very few details. They just basically said, oh, we're coming out with a new adventure expansion similar to Naxxramas and the Goblins versus Gnomes. I was like, awesome. That was it. That's all they said. I was like, huh.
So there's no change to the gameplay whatsoever? No. Weird. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, more cards. Enjoy.
I think there might be like a couple new heroes more than likely to coincide with demon hunters and shit like that. I'm pretty sure eventually we will have a Illidan you can play as. I'm willing to bet, because they're all hero classes, and the only thing we don't have, I'm pretty sure, Death Knights, Monks, and them. So I'm pretty sure those are going to be the new things. We're introducing hero decks. Fuck this game. This just officially became Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm out. I'm done.
F this us, I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah, that's how I feel sometimes.
Now, I guess we can move on to a game that I can talk about, Heroes of the Storm. Now, I'm not a big MOBA person originally. I played League of Legends a bit. Was not my game. I know a lot of people that do play League and love it, so clearly the game is doing something right. However, Blizzard, with their own MOBA, has created something that I can't seem to walk away from. And
good on them.
Yeah, good on them. And they have announced a couple of new champions. A couple of new heroes, excuse me. Heroes. Yeah. A couple of new heroes, one of which might be the first for MOBAs right now. A hero that can be controlled by two players at once. Cho'Gall, the Ogre Magi. Cho'Gall. Now, Cho'Gall comes from the Warcraft franchise. I believe he's the chieftain of the Twilight Hammer clan. And he is an Ogre Magi. You have Cho, who I believe is the brute powerhouse of the two. And you have Gall, who is more of the magically inclined side. And the way Cho'Gall is supposed to play, from what it seems like, you'll have two players who will queue up, one on each head. The person who takes Cho will take control of basic attacks and melee-style attacks, warrior stuff, as well as have overall movement of where Cho'Gall goes.
Exactly.
Yes, they'll be dictating where you're going, what you're doing. Gaul, conversely, has more of a ranged assassin-y kind of build, kind of magical build. So the person who is playing Gaul could actually be someone who is kind of new to the game, new to MOBAs in general, and this could be a good training wheel setup for them. They could learn how to play the game and learn stuff about the maps. What is the best? Learn from someone more experienced where to go, what to do. I could see this character being insanely powerful in a competitive setting or completely damning.
Damning is what I'm going with.
Well, because number one, Cho'Gall will take up the spot of two heroes right off the bat. So automatically, no matter what game you're in, you're already in a 4-on-5. If the two people operating Cho'Gall cannot work together, you could see this going very badly for the rest of the team, because now you're effectively two characters down.
Yeah.
On the other hand, though, if you have a Cho'Gall that knows exactly what they're doing, everything is on par, communication is where it needs to be, you might have a much nastier kind of opponent on hand. So, if nothing else, I'm intrigued to see how it goes, because even if Cho'Gall does kind of play like an unmitigated disaster, I do have to give Blizzard the absolute... I have to give them credit for having the testicular fortitude to go and create a champion like this, or a hero, rather. Because we haven't seen this in MOBAs. This is not something that comes up. You don't normally have characters like this.
I mean, to be fair, we have characters in certain games. One person controls two things, like Rexxar and Misha, which is But it's fucking broken. But the fact that you can control two of them is pretty cool. The only downside to that is they're fixed together.
It's not even that. You have the Lost Vikings, who are
true,
who are three characters in one. But those there are, you know, obvious detriments to that. You have to be able to. You need a much better micro skill or macro skill. You have to keep track of three characters at once, and you have to be able to operate them in synchronization as one combined unit.
That
requires a great deal of skill to be able to pull off. Cho'Gall is the flip of this. We're going to have two people in control of one character, but you know communication is going to be a must now.
Yeah, it's a definite must for that, but yeah. It seems pretty cool. Like, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to get back into playing Heroes again so I get better at that, especially because, like I said, I want to do the whole thing with, I guess it was competitive gaming, like I was kind of getting into before, and Heroes is the most lenient in terms of MOBA, so it's easier to learn.
I will actually say this. In my time spent playing Heroes right now, getting from level 1 to, I think, 39. I'm one level away. I'm almost 40. Heroes has by far been a much more pleasant MOBA experience for me than League was. It was definitely more casual friendly, more laid back. I don't rage nearly as much at it. I don't walk away as sore. I can go on a losing streak and want to throw things. I can't even say that about Street Fighter. I have to I love Street Fighter, but I have broken controllers over that game.
Yeah. Which is a really weird thing to say, because the vibe is still the same. You still want to play to win, but it's just a more objective-based game where everything is more laid back, it feels like.
I mean, you have the entire party levels as one whole. There's no gold farm. There's no items. Based on what level you are, you'll get your talent. You'll choose something off your talent tree. But beyond that, I mean, it's... I don't know. It just feels like a friendlier game experience. The community has actually been a whole lot less toxic. You get your bad eggs here and there, but most of the people are like, dude, calm. Get shut down pretty quickly. Even one player that I did have a bad experience with, we ended up talking things over and things were actually ended amicably. So, I mean, it's... Yeah. How often do you see that in a MOBA-style setting?
I have yet to see it in League.
Yeah. Now, I can't say that, so if anyone who is experienced with League would like to come in and tell us that the League environment is a lot better than its reputation says it is, please feel free to let us know.
Yeah.
Also, with Heroes, they're introducing an arena stage,
which I cannot fucking wait for.
A stage that plays very similar. It plays in just an arena setting. It goes into, I believe the concept is 2 out of 3, where you'll fight in like a little mini area that has a core, and you're trying to obviously destroy your opponent's core. Each time you complete this objective, the map will reset, and you will repeat the process. It's a 5-on-5, but again, it's now 2 out of 3, so the first person, I think, to get to 2 wins, wins the arena match. And I think that could... First off, the one thing I will also say about Heroes... I like how they've had a lot of, you know, variance with their maps. How they have, it's never the same layout that you're playing on. There's always new objectives per each map that you're, or there's a different objective for each map that you're going to play on. This one is really no different. Different game styles, certainly, but the fact that they're willing to, you know, change it up based on what map you're on, I do enjoy that, because it prevents the game from stagnating.
Yeah.
It makes the game less predictable. It opens up options for what you can do.
Which is always fun. I mean, like, there's the one that you and I like is the Demons versus the Angels.
Battlefield of Eternity. I'm a big fan of Battlefield of Eternity. I like how you end up with a big team fight in the middle, and that the winner of that team fight will usually end up blitzing the opponent's champion, or their giant boss champion. Angel or demon, and trying to wear it down so that their personal champion, the angel or demon, can run rampant on the map.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really cool things that are in there that really make me like that game. It really makes you care about doing objectives, which is a lot of fun, versus like, oh no, someone has to go in the jungle for like 5 seconds to build, then you can come out and just basically help team kill shit.
Yep.
You actually have, it feels like you go into basically their version of the jungle actually means something. It's like, oh, we accomplished this, now we can actually steamroll for a minute. And they have to play catch-up, vice versa.
And I mean, there is certainly some importance to the way League does it as well. In fact, I would even say if you want to play Devil's Advocate, the benefit of the map with League and stuff like Dota is that, you know, having that same linearity, that same map overall.
Yeah.
You know, everyone is familiar with the layout. Everyone is fighting on the same battlefield. Everyone knows exactly, you know, how each nuance with it works. Whereas, you know, with Heroes of the Storm, because you're going to be dealing with a changing map per game, you know, there's a chance you could get a map that you are really good on, like I said, or one that you like playing on, like for us, or Battlefield of Eternity, or you could get one that I'm personally dog shit on, Sky Temples. So.
Oh, Sky Temples garbage. I hate that. Like, so much. Also, like, now we're kind of getting on a tangent of Heroes, but Dragonshire. Similar concept.
The Dragon Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually realized they do kind of have a weird reliance on maps where you spawn a champion that comes in and just wrecks shit on a lane. So I think
it's still really fun, though, because then you get to... It just seems fun to have the team fight with you trying to kill their champion, them trying to kill you or heal their champion. Like, it just creates almost a different feel, is what I was saying, versus just, oh, go over here, dive under this turret, go here just to get some just to level real quick, then come on, just gank everybody. It seems like there's more, like I said, to me, it feels like there's just more reward for doing objectives than just leveling and getting gold so you can buy items. But another tangent for another day. I'll do my own podcast.
You know, it feels like you spend more time focusing on the game or on the main crux of the game and not whether or not your item build is optimal or you have enough gold or you're just going in and out of the action.
Yeah, more or less.
Now, let's see, since you mentioned it earlier, Cloud9, the esports team, won the Heroes of the Storm World Championship at BlizzCon.
Ew.
And funny enough, if I'm not mistaken, they actually won the World Championship by using a very underused champion in competitive scene, Murky, the Murloc.
Oh, man, I wonder how much play that's going to get now.
Because of that, I know I'm gonna run around. I'm gonna end up seeing a bunch of stupid Murkies now. I'm not even looking for.
I mean, to be fair, as people who follow esports or competitive gaming, that happens with every tournament. Remember when Rocket Raccoon became a thing after somebody won an MVC3 tournament with him?
Yeah.
It just people cookie cutter flavor of the month or whatever top tier people are using. That's just how every game is. But Murky though, I did not see it coming.
I mean, let's see. And of course, I'm reading about it now, giving it a good look over. Let's see. Moment of odd silence. Yeah, apparently, No, apparently Cloud9 used the Murky in, apparently they used the Murky in their semi-final game against Team DK. Which was, I believe, a Korean team and would have been considered one of the strongest regions in Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
But Hey, Cloud9 went through. They did work. They won. They fought Team Dignitas in the finals and won. And I mean, what else can you say?
They did what they came to do. They went there. They made big money. They're hoping for the BlizzCon sweep. It just didn't work out.
Well, make that money, Cloud9. Make that money. Fuck SK Telecom 1.
Man.
Yeah, teams that I don't like. That's another debate for that's like another dispute for
Team YP, bro.
Now
Team YP.
Hey, Team YP, send us that sweet YP money.
I would literally wear a YP shirt, just never tell anybody what it stood for. You don't even know if I was getting paid for it.
I can see someone be like, how dare you hate SK Telecom 1? They're the best league team in the world. You know what that? Here's why I hate them. That's a dumb fucking name for a team.
True.
That's as dumb as Samsung Blue and Samsung White. I'm sorry, that name is terrible.
They just ran out of ideas for a team name.
You know, it really is. A telecom company just decided, we want an esports team.
Okay.
We buy one. What shall we call it? After ourselves. SK Telecom. It just sounds like a hokey name. I'm sorry. I just don't like it. Like, Unicorns of Love, I thought, was a great name. Cloud9 sounds like a cool name. Team Solo Mid sounds cool.
Yeah. I mean, we all can't have the Mighty Ducks, where it's named after a named after a law firm, and it just works because the ducks work. They works.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you take what you can get.
Yeah.
And here, actually, speaking of stuff in Heroes of the Storm, because there are things that we kind of glossed over. Besides Cho'Gall, they did announce two other heroes: Lunara, first daughter of Cenarius.
Woohoo!
Yep, looks like a Warcraft character, of which I have no familiarity with. This is a lot of Warcraft characters they announced for this. Lunara, Greymane, Lord of the Worgen, and Cho'Gall. All three are Warcraft characters.
Yeah, I mean, it's their biggest series, yeah. So...
And the next map, Towers of Doom, besides the arena, it's the Ravenlore and the Gravekeeper are basically going to cause more shit, where you have to activate altars and claim bell towers for that map to do damage. Then you have the arena. But you know what? Hey, you know what makes me mad? Because there has yet to be a StarCraft map.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be next. Didn't they?
There hasn't been one. You've had...
Yeah, I thought about that. There isn't one.
You've had Diablo-based maps. You've had Warcraft-based maps. I have not seen a StarCraft-based map in that game.
You know what that means? That's the weak one.
How are you going to... You've got all this influence. How can you not, like, have just one map?
What would you make it? Like, for real, what would you make it look like?
I would, oh my god, let's see if I really wanted to, you could put one on Marsara.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually try to have one take place in the, Dominion, or one of the Dominion homeworlds, the raid on Korhal, where that you could say took place right at the end of Heart of the Swarm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for god's sakes, you mean to tell me that you can't even grab, or... pick up a map on, like, maybe the Zerg home planet?
I mean, the whole thing, too, is you have to have like both sides. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
like literally the primal Zerg planet where you could get control of an entire... Think of this like like a giant lane rush. Like, whereas, like, Tomb of the Spider Queen, where you have three big spiders running down a lane, you mean to tell me you couldn't pick up something that has a bunch of little Zerglings run down each lane and you have to slaughter the little shits? Come on.
I'm saying, usually, though, with their design, it's like, you could have one that was half Protoss and half Zerg. I would play that shit. Because, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's usually half of one thing. Again, like, our favorite one, it's Demon on one side, Angel on the other. There are some where there's something in the middle, like my least favorite one, the Shipyard. I hate that place so much. Oh, my God. But I get what you're saying. They could very easily do that, but...
They could do it. They could do it.
Whatever. It feels bad, man.
You know what? It makes me sad.
It makes you feel all the feelings.
It does. It hurts me. It hurts me because I want a StarCraft base map. That's all I want. Just give me one. Give me one.
Say, wish in one hand, shit in the other.
See which fills up first. Yeah, I know.
It might happen down the line, but they're sticking with the easy thing that everybody is going for. As popular as that game is in Korea, it's not that popular in the States for some reason.
I mean, MOBAs in general in Korea are super popular. I don't think that's a...
Yeah. No, I meant StarCraft. It was the one I was talking about more so.
So give us one.
Just one. We just need one.
Just one. Just one.
I mean, we'll probably get it eventually, like, but it's going to be a little while off.
Apparently I'm asking too much.
You're always asking too much.
Not asking too much.
That's what you think.
I'm not asking too much. You're asking too much.
I'm not asking for anything. I just literally want them to make WoW a better esport. That's it. The other two games are good. WoW just has a problem of, since it's a MMO first and a competitive game second, yep, all the balance stuff goes to PvE, which completely fucks the PvP side of the game.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I mean.
Anyway, now that we've covered, beat the shit out of Heroes of the Storm and talked about it, because good lord.
Yeah, the horse is dead.
Let's see. Overwatch got
more Blizzard shit.
Yeah, I know. This is the Blizzard episode, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been waiting for us to have a big Blizzard episode, you got it. This is it. Overwatch has been announced for PC, has with a release date and a price tag for PC and console. PC version $40, console $60.
PC version it up. Yeah, Master Race for life, bro.
And PC Master Race wins this one again, but you can't fault them.
Nah, I mean, it's going to be native to that anyway. I mean, let's be fair. I'm just glad they didn't pull a Diablo and make it where the PC version was just a beta for the console version. The original Diablo 3 was garbage. But, oh my god, you can't even say it wasn't. Honestly. Tell me the original release of Diablo 3 was amazing. I'll give you a dollar.
You know what, I never played it, so I couldn't tell you.
You didn't?
I never played, or the PC version of Diablo, that I played. Yeah, that was good.
D3?
I didn't think D3 was that bad. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but...
But again, like, if you look at the reviews and how everybody accepted it, the PC version was widely regarded as the beta for the console version.
Wow. I could see that. Yeah. I could see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much smoother. Everything works better. The drop rate's better. But anyway, tangent again. Let's get back on topic. That was my fault.
So this is, like, I guess their first-person shooter MOBA? Is that what they're theming this one as?
It's not a... Because the new thing is, for a while, has been squad-based, where everybody has an individual role. That's been that way for a while. This is just their first step into that. Like I joked about it before, it's like Blizzard presents Team Fortress meets Big Hero 6. Overwatch.
It actually... The trailer of that, a very good-looking trailer, but I mean, it looks like Pixar had their hands in that one.
It really does, but it doesn't look like it's a bad thing, though. It's one of those things where, like, it's influenced enough by Pixar that the art looks... But then again, this Blizzard games in general have, like, a bubbly, semi-realistic look to them overall. Even Grimass, like, Diablo kind of has a cartoony look to it a little bit. So I was expecting that. And overall, it looks like a lot of fun. The individual classes or characters look very unique. Some of them work together, and there's actually a healer. I think it looks pretty good. It just looks like they expanded upon the idea of Team Fortress to me, where there's more classes and they're more unique to each other.
I mean, you've got a lot of unique characters. It seems like it could be, it'll be good. I mean, here's the thing. It's Blizzard. A bad Blizzard game is still pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's still a passable game.
I mean, that's what everyone seems to forget, honestly. And it's so that no one ever actually screws this up. Just to put this out there, if you ever complain about a Blizzard game, hit yourself in the balls. Just go ahead, take a full good swing, clock yourself in the nuts. Because a bad Blizzard game will still play better and be better than most good games that are out on the market to this day.
Yeah, because they're made by more or less fans of the genre that they're creating. Most of the people that work at Blizzard and work on the games are fans, which is a good thing and a bad thing sometimes.
Yep. And honestly, I think that's a testament to the quality that Blizzard does put out. So,
yeah, I mean, they're never bad. Sometimes they're not amazing, but they're never like, oh my god. Even like I was saying, Diablo 3 being quote-unquote bad, it was still a really good hack and slash run on beat shit up because it just was a decent game. And this was what everybody expected. People thought since it had been so long, it'd be like a StarCraft 2 that just like blew everybody out of the park. It was like, eh, this is okay.
Yeah.
I'd give it a B-. And then Reaper of Souls came out and I gave it an A. Not gonna lie, Reapers was amazing.
Yep. Let's see, also, didn't a new Call of Duty come out this weekend or this week or something?
What?
That's what I thought too. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Duty.
And there's also a Halo and some other shit I don't play came out, but I don't
The new Halo 5. You know what? Tell you what, I'm not a Halo guy. From what I keep hearing from everyone I know that hasn't, if you like Halo, you'll like it. If Halo hasn't been your cup of tea before, I don't see this one changing your mind.
Nah, it doesn't.
You know what? It's Dynasty Warriors. If you like it, you're going to get exactly what you paid for.
Yeah.
If you don't care for it, this one isn't going to change your mind.
The one thing I really heard about it is it was a huge step up from 4. Like, 4 had some issues because it was transferring from one design studio to another. And in this one, because it's their second one, it came out a lot better. So I'm happy that that happened, because there was a lot of things where, like, originally it was like, oh, Destiny came out, Halo's dead. And thankfully, Bungie dropped the ball with Destiny, so people were like, yeah, we'll give Halo another chance.
Actually, the funny thing is, though, the current expansion, or the big expansion they put out for Destiny, has been actually pretty good, and has fixed a lot of the issues that it had.
That's good to hear, because I was like, I had heard nothing but,
And finally, something I'm going to cover, because if we've established that Blizzard is James's forte and love, this one is mine. Final Fantasy XIV is released, and they're currently in maintenance mode right now. I actually did try to log in while we were doing the podcast, because I am a scumbag like that. No, they are releasing their first big content patch since the release of their expansion, Heavensward.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 3.1 patch that is going to introduce a new 24-man casual raid, the Void Arc, 2 new dungeons. This one actually also introduced airship exhibitions, where you can become sky pirates.
What?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It seems like it's a kind of a reference to, I believe, Final Fantasy XII. No, it's just, I'm really excited for it. This is my baby. This is what I get hyped up for. I'm actually looking forward to that 24 man, even though I know it's going to be derpy as all fuck for like the first couple of weeks. I'm excited for it. And the main story, main storyline, the continuation that they're running with that, where they're introducing the Heroes of Darkness, the Warriors of Darkness. How you are the Warrior of Light, there are now Warriors of Darkness meant to oppose you, I suppose.
I mean, if they did anything other than that, I'd be really confused.
Well, here's the funny thing, though. The characters that they introduced in the original 14 trailer, it's a character that they affectionately refer to as the Derplander. It's his name among the fan community.
I thought that was his real name. It's like, what?
Basically, when they were doing the trailer for Final Fantasy XIV, the main character in the trailer was a male higher midlander, human midlander. No one knew his name. They just knew that he was a warrior. That was the class that he was.
Yeah.
So his name among the community was the Derplander. And at the very end of the big main story quest at the end of Heavensward, they showed the Derplander on the moon, talking to the big villains of the game. So they're finding a way to weasel in the character from the trailer into the actual game, which I think is really cool. They are also they're introducing a hard mode fight, or an extreme primal fight, for mm-hmm. the last boss of Heavensward. Much like at the very end of A Realm Reborn, you fought Ultima Weapon. They brought in a bard character who allowed you to fight kind of an extreme version of that,
mm-hmm.
or hard mode. They're now doing that for the end boss of Heavensward as well, which was King Thordin and his Knights 12.
What? Okay.
Knights of the Round.
Yeah, I got it. It took me a second.
So now you're getting a hard mode, or an extreme mode, for Knights of the Round. And apparently this is a 10-phase fight. Where it's not, they said the focus isn't so much on high DPS as it is on getting mechanics right. So I'm expecting this to be a mechanically challenging clusterfuck of epic proportions.
Okay, I want to say something right now. As I've been playing, not this isn't a shot at you or anybody else, but I've been playing MMOs. When did you stop playing MMOs before you started playing this again?
Prior to this, I was playing Star Wars The Old Republic.
How far into that did you get?
Played it for 2 years.
Damn, so like its entire lifespan.
And I mean, I was...
I mean, you liked it.
I was big into the raiding.
Yeah. It was, okay, so My bad. You were big into the raiding and...
occasionally dealt with PvP here and there. I would not say PvP was my strong point, but... yeah. You know, raiding was my big thing.
Okay, so... in terms of phases, how many phases would you say the hardest boss in that game had?
Oh, God. From the time that I played till the time that I quit?
Yeah.
5 or 6.
Okay, and how many phases is this new one supposed to have, did you say?
10.
Okay, so I can see, like, the average one is start phase, then you have, like, or an add phase, a start phase, a burn phase, a heavy mechanic phase, a second burn phase, and a don't fuck up phase. So it's like 6 phases, right?
Five or six? I'll just say that it's going to be a crazy fight. It's going to be a good fight. It's going to be definitely challenging. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, I know you are, but you get what I'm saying. That's usually how MMO raids go. Like, you run in every now and then, you have your first burn phase where you try and get it to phase shift. So you burn your first set of cooldowns. Then you do whatever mechanic you have to do. Then you get into a settle phase. And then you have a phase where you don't fuck up and you burn again. 10 phases, though?
I mean, I was going to say, in the words of Yoshi P,
yeah,
please expect it. Or please expect us, or expect this.
Oh, my God. I'm just saying, like, again, you've played MMOs long enough to know that that's... unless there's, like, some random-ass ad phase or an air phase or some random shit, because they said it's about learning the mechanics and doing it right, that almost sounds like overkill.
I mean, it's going to be crazy. But...
again, not judging it, because that's your thing. I'm just like, that seems kind of like overkill.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's kind of what I'm hoping for. Look, I want it to be a challenging fight. I want it to be worthy of the Knights of the Round title. And, I mean, the first fight did somewhat live up to it, so, I mean, I have no complaints there.
I mean, just with the Knights of the Round idea of it being 12 people plus him, there's probably going to be, like, 2 ad phases is what I think is going to happen. And in each ad phase... some of the knights are going to have very specific things, like one does this, one does this, you have to watch out for this. Like, I can see it like that, but just hearing it as 10 phases in my brain, it was like, no. But breaking it down to a more technical idea, I can see it being like a 20-minute boss fight, but even then, that's, that's crazy. Is he a single encounter, like, raid type thing, where it's just him and them, or is it going to be like an entire 8 boss raid plus them is what I'm thinking about too.
I just know it's going to be crazy. That's what I know.
Man, that actually sounds fun. I'm actually have to get a new graphic card so I can play it just for that. And they'd be like, fuck this game and never play it again.
So you don't sound like you're that happy about it.
No, I mean, like, I am. Like I said, I would literally buy a new graphic card just for that. Just to say I played it. It's like I was going to issue you a challenge, but we'll get to that later. Okay, no, we'll talk about it at the end.
Oh, God. I can't wait to hear what this challenge is.
It's an easy one. It should be easy anyway. I mean, we don't do much. All right, so next topic, bro. Or was that like one of the last ones?
I think that was actually our last one. I mean, if we want to go kind of on a recap-ish kind of thing.
Blizzard's amazing. Everybody else is just eh.
Street Fighter V had announced their Laura character, an unannounced beta that beta cycle that went through this past weekend as well. The character Laura was playable
by accident.
Yep, I don't know if by accident, but I mean she was. Apparently, I don't even know. My brain broke right there. My brain broke.
You don't know if she was good or bad. She was
to be honest with you, I didn't have a chance to play it. I didn't, and I was a little bummed about that.
Laura. Why isn't Sean in the game if Laura's in the game? That's the one thing
Because this one still takes place canonically before Street Fighter 3.
Can I say that I hate Street Fighter's canon? Can I just say that now?
A lot of people would tell you that.
The canon makes no sense anymore. Like, it literally makes zero sense. Zero. Oh, yeah, and the Resident Evil Origins Part 2, a.k.a. Resident Evil 0, comes out in January. Yeah. Which I'm kind of excited about. Konami is still retarded and they mess up their own company. Like, they just destroyed it. And yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. Pretty much, we talked about everything.
I think we have everything.
And all the talking points. We said F word 11 times. I mean, it's, yeah. Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. So here's my challenge to you, bitch.
Yep, fire.
No, we're going to say. What were we about to say?
You're too fucking kind. What did you want to say?
I bet. No, it's not even a bet. I'm going to attempt to play Final Fantasy all the way to the end so I can do that derpy raid. If you play WoW with me for 2 months.
Oh, God. I don't have it in me.
No, that's if you really want to play Final Fantasy that bad, you have to play WoW with me for 2 months.
I think I would end up killing myself to over WoW.
It's why you haven't played it since what vanilla when it was when it took 3 days to get to level 20 for some reason.
Dude, I couldn't even hit 20 in that game in months. I mean, it's just
exactly the game is like so much different now. I think you'd actually like it, but I will do it if you do it.
Tempting. Let me get back to you on.
I will pay for the original part of WoW, which goes all the way up to Pandaria, and it comes with a free month if I buy it for you.
Again, let me get back to you. I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I want to agree to this.
I mean, also...
Hey, you know what? I'm being honest with you.
I know you're being honest. I mean, the same reason I keep dragging my feet about playing Final Fantasy XIV. Otherwise, I would have done it by now. Yeah. Also, if you're listening still to this aside part, keep a lookout for our first actual together live stream shit. We've been streaming Heroes together. We just haven't been promoting like the podcast, but I think we should start doing that. Like we kind of talked about before. It's technical stuff. Yeah, I think we can do everything.
I was going to say, we're going to have to actually do a live stream sometime. Not just that, but like an actual Twitch version of our stuff.
We can.
Like a live podcast show. But we need to...
You know they have live cast channels now for that, right?
I didn't know that. Well, we need to get on that.
You can make a gaming talk show with a live cast channel.
Well, then I think we need to get on that. So, well, I won't go so far as to say, you know, be on the lookout for that, that we've got some time. But we're going to figure out what we can do. Maybe we'll get that off the ground.
Yep.
Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Team Rocket Podcast. We will see you again next week. God willing, we pull this off next week.
It won't happen.
Yeah, you know when our last episode was? Do you want to know, James?
I almost said October, but that was a lie. August.
August 2nd.
Damn, I think it was that long ago. We suck.
3 months.
Damn. It
took us 3 months to get to episode 11. My God.
Feels bad, man.
Guys, we failed you all. We are so sorry.
We are not the hero that Gotham City deserves at all.
We are not your heroes. We apologize. However, we're going to try and get this right. We're going to rectify this mistake. We are going to have some games to talk about. I know... For the love of God, Legacy of the Void, I know, is coming out. And you know what? By next week, I'm going to actually have a chance to have a hands-on encounter with Fallout 4. So I will definitely have some things to talk about next week when we re-record. because we're going to screw up the first one.
We probably will.
Yep, I will definitely have some things to talk about.
I have a review of Resident Evil Revelations 2.
There we go. I'll definitely have some things to say about the Final Fantasy content update after having played it. So.
Yep.
So, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jesse. This is James. We are the Team Rocket Podcast. And this is us blasting off again.
Dog rapist.
Oh, my God. Sponsor us, Team YP.